Hi, my name is Bart. This is kind of show number 12, and the reason I say kind of is because it's not a real show. We have real shows coming. The first thing we have to do is get through this weekend. I hope you understand. We expect a real show next week, and take that to the bank. I'm going to give you a couple of this and that in this little show. A lot of you are wondering why I don't attack more of the pig boy. Well, it's a long and potentially funny story. I'll make it short. Lots of problems. Everywhere you go, the computer blew up in April, the computer blew up in August. We've had one problem after another. Flew Tommy Mac in twice. He was an enormous help. Got everything working. We had to throw away our old limiter and get a new composer. Lots of troubles. But probably the biggest and the scariest one was just a couple days ago when the shelf gave out and the TV, the tape deck, the VCR, and the tuner all crashed to the ground. Oh, my God. I thought, oh, Lord, what have you done to me? Why do you want to keep this radio station off the air, dear Lord? But then I remember that there is no God. Okay, so we put this stuff back on the shelf, and son of a bitch, if it didn't crash the second time. But funny, I got a big giant crack now in the middle of the receiver, but somehow he works in mysterious ways because the hum is mostly gone now. That's why I haven't been able to attack much of the pig boy, because there's been the giant hum. No, it didn't sound like that, but anyway, the giant hum on the AM. When Tommy Mac was here, he had a little portable radio. He walked to every room in the house, and he turned his radio. You know how you turn the radio upside down and left and right, and the sound changes? He couldn't find a single spot in the whole house that didn't have this hum. We're strategically located in the wrong spot or something. But after the crash now, the AM works not perfect, but a whole lot better. It works good enough now that we can tape the pig boy and make fun of him, which was kind of the original intent of the whole show. So, today we got some pig boy clips for you. I intend to spank his dirty ass red, and I think he might like it. So, first thing, I'll start off with the traditional shot o' chinaco. Hold on. That tastes so fine. Tastes good in Vegas, too. Okay, first one up is a dirty lie from the vulgar pig boy, and I'll prove it. Hold on.
The Dean campaign has mounted here as far as getting their supporters on this program. And, of course, they know that we put people who disagree with me at the top of the list, so they're always, if they get through, then they get on the air. We haven't changed that rule. If you disagree, you move to the top of the line. That's just, we've always had that as a policy.
Rush, that is a whole bunch of horseshit, and I can prove it. In the year 2000, the last presidential election we had, Gore got more votes than the idiot who stole his way into power. That tells us that people who are interested in politics are mostly Democrats. There are more Democrats who voted than Republicans, so it figures that there are more Democratic callers than Republicans. And Rush says that the Democrats always go to the front of the line, but yet we never hear from any. How is that possible, Rush? Explain yourself. If what you say is true, your show should be entirely Democrats. There should be no agree calls with you because all the disagreeers go right to the front. So how is that possible, Rush? You're just a liar, aren't you? Admit it. Pick up the next bit of clarity from the vulgar pig boy.
If you listen to Howard Dean, Nikita Dean, affectionately known here.
Jesus, Rush, what the hell was that?
Affectionately known here.
Affectionately on air? Affectionately on air? Gee, Rush, it almost sounds like a...
Affectionately known here. Affectionately known here. Affectionately known here. Affectionately known here.
It's so sad to see a once big-time entertainer having his strokes right on the damn air. Okay, now we got a little something from Dave. Got a little something from Al Franken.
How many of you folks saw President Bush on the television last night with his speech about Iraq? Well, you know what? He's asking Congress for $80 billion to help rebuild Iraq. $80 billion. And when you make out that check, remember there are two L's in Halliburton.
So that was, their complaint said everything you need to know about Fox, really, which is that they're just, oh boy, what's a good word? Huge assholes. Over there.
like to remind everybody that for the best in internet silversmithing, go to mickrasley-silver.com. That's mickrasley-silver.com. If Mick can't do it, it can't be done. You saw what he did with that Chinoco belt buckle, and you've seen a couple more examples on the page. Give old Mick a call, or give him a click, and see if he can't fix you right up. Thank you, Mick, our only advertiser. And we close today's little mini-show with some Pig Boy Bark Cop interaction.
This will take time and require sacrifice. Yet we will do what is necessary. We will spend what is necessary to achieve this essential victory in the war on terror, to promote freedom, and to make our own nation more secure.
Attention Howard Dean, attention Ted Kennedy, attention Clintons et al., we ain't leaving.
Yeah, and that's the problem. We're not ever going to leave Iraq. We're just going to stay there in the 130-degree heat and let our boys get picked off one at a time. Good thinking, Rush.
You're not talking us out of this.
Yeah, and that's bad news for the troops. Once Bush is convinced he's right, nothing, no amount of facts or reasoning or logic will convince him to turn around. He will continue to make the same mistake again and again and again. It's called stupidity.
We're not backing out. We're not backing up.
Yeah, you say that now, but as those bodies continue to pile up, I got a feeling public pressure and Bush's falling approval rating is going to give him some new ideas.
We're not pulling out. We're not going anywhere but forward.
Yeah, under the leadership of President Pinhead, we're moving forward in the land of snipers and car bombs. Perfect.
Say what you want. Continue to whine. Keep moaning.
Well, Pig Boy, as usual, you got this one wrong, too. That moaning you hear is from the wounded and the families of the wounded.
I don't hear you, George W. Bush, last night.
Well, yeah, Rush got that one right. Bush said, "I don't hear you," to the troops when they asked him not to cut their combat pay. Anything to give his rich friends another tax cut, even if it's cutting the combat pay of the troops under fire, that son of a bitch.
And for America, there will be no going back to the era before September the 11th, 2001.
Stop the tape. Do you hear that, Howard Dean? Do you hear that? Folks, this is a fundamental point. It's time to stop dreaming. It's time to stop living in a fantasy world.
Rush is confused about this, too. The fantasy world he talks about is Bill Clinton's America, when we all had peace, we had prosperity, everybody was making money, nobody was dying. New York still had a skyline. That's the America people dream about.
It's time to stop believing we can turn back the hands of time and take us to a country and a period prior to 9/11.
Once again, he's talking about Bill Clinton's America. Yeah, we all wish we could go back. Everybody wants to go back to that time before Bush. That's what he means, but he can't say it. He's afraid to give credit where credit's due. When he talks about the 90s, he's talking about the Clinton era.
9/11 happened.
Yeah, 9/11 did happen. It happened on Bush's watch. Everybody knows. The FBI and the CIA kept telling him Al-Qaeda is trying to come up with something. We suspect it's going to be spectacular, and we suspect it's going to be soon. So the son of a bitch went on vacation for a month. He was in Crawford the whole month of August. And now he's saying, "Oh, what could I have done? You could have shown up to work."
9/11 has had an effect and a reverberating effect on life throughout the world. And there's no turning back. You can't do it. Can't put your head in the sand. Can't go back to the way it was.
Oh, but how America wishes we could. It would be so great to go back before Bush.
The Democrats can promise it all day long, but you can't make it happen.
Excuse me, Mr. Pigboy, but specifically which Democrat said that we could go back in time? I don't think a Democrat ever said that. I think you're just a lying son of a bitch.
You can't pull out of Vietnam and pretend it didn't happen. You can't pull out of Iraq and pretend 9/11 didn't happen.
Well, now, that's a bunch of horse shit. Iraq doesn't have anything to do with 9/11. Everybody knows that. Even Bush's own CIA says that. But the Republicans and talk radio and the national media continue to feed us that stupid lie. It was always just an excuse for Bush to get in there and steal that oil because he could. He's stolen the oil and every asset Iraq has. While we're on the subject, does anyone believe this bullshit about the guerrillas blowing up the pipeline and that's why there's no oil coming through? I got a feeling the BFEE is sending someone out in the desert every day to set off a couple of smoke bombs so they can say, oh, we can't get any oil through, but you know there's a million barrels a day going right into the pockets of the BFEE. That oil's getting through. Trust me. The idea that we can't use any of that money to pay for the Iraq reconstruction, that's just a hand job by this stupid government. They're stealing that oil, and they're pretending they're not pumping any because the guerrillas are beating us up so bad. Yeah, we believe that.
We cannot get out of the world. We cannot extricate ourselves from this war.
Well, that second statement was true. We can't get out of this war. If we had any brains, we wouldn't have got into it in the first place. But Smirky McWar Hardon just had to steal. He smelled that oil for the first time in his life. He found oil. So he just had to go steal it. How many dead we got so far? 300? How many limbs have we had blown off? Maybe 1,000? And we're stuck over there. We're just mired in the quagmire. We can't get out.
Nor can we extricate ourselves from problem situations that we face around the world and go back to the hunky-dory peaceful times of the 90s.
There he goes again, disguising the Clinton era as the 90s. He can't bring himself to say Clinton was peace and prosperity, and the unelected pinhead has brought us nothing but war and recession and death and heartbreak and lack of hope. Bush has brought us everything we don't need.
If anything, that was a party we're paying the price for in a host of ways.
He says, a host of ways, because he can't list any of them. What are we paying the price for besides Bush going to sleep on the damn job? That's what we're paying price. Well, that and the Florida theft. Yeah, we're paying for all that. The idea that the peace and prosperity of the Clinton era must somehow be paid for. That's the Republicans for you.
Because the previous administration sought to put its own head in the sand and deny the realities that were effervescing, even at that moment.
Effervescing my ass. This is something they're going to continue to say forever and ever. So here's what you do to come back at them. When they say Clinton buried his head in the sand, what you say is, tell me specifically what actions Bush took from the day he was sworn in until September 10th to fight terrorism, to find bin Laden, to bring him to justice. Give me a list of what Bush did. They keep wanting to tell us how it was so obvious that bin Laden was going to be this dangerous, but Clinton refused to look at it. So why the hell didn't Bush look at it?
What is the one thing, since this all started, since after 9/11, since the war on terror and everything, what's the one thing that the liberals have been demanding? Now, I know you say, well, what do you mean, one thing? They've been demanding a lot of things. There is one thing, at least in my mind and my memory, that they have been demanding over and over again, and that is sacrifice. Is it not the case? The president isn't asking us to sacrifice. The president isn't asking us for tax increases. The president isn't asking us to undergo any hardship. The president is asking us to go without them. We must sacrifice. Okay, here comes $87 billion the president thinks that we need to fight terrorism. And they say that this is being totally unrealistic and so forth. It seems to me that when they now say that and have been saying, the president isn't asking us to sacrifice. We need to sacrifice. Well, here comes $87 billion request. That sounds like some sacrifice to me, and yet they're unhappy with it. The president, this is too much.
Well, I got two problems with that load of crap. One is that $87 is going right into the pockets of Bush and Cheney. Oh, sure, they're going to filter it through Halliburton and maybe give them 10% as a handling fee, but that $87 billion is not going to help the troops. It's not going to help Iraq. They're just stealing that money like they stole the $5 trillion in the Treasury. The second thing is, and damn, I got a sound file of this somewhere on the web, but who the hell can find it? Back when we were in Kosovo, Rush said there weren't enough Americans dying. Actually, there were none dying, but Rush said if it was worth fighting for, it was worth dying for, so why doesn't Clinton put some troops on the ground so they can die to show everybody this was a war worth fighting? Now, what the fuck kind of logic is that, Rush? Well, I'll be damned if I didn't find that tape. Check this out.
And the idea of we need to go in with ground troops, right? Why not try the air first? Why must we get Americans killed if we don't have to? We can always send the ground troops in later, Rush. Let's see if we can do it with this card first. Why be so quick to kill American soldiers?
Well, see, that question, that question really does cut to the whole thesis here. And it is this. Is what we're doing worth the death of the liberators? If not, I mean, it apparently what we're doing is worth the death, the suffering, and the slaughter of those who are the victims of all this, but it's not important enough for us to die.
Not important enough for us to die. Now, have you ever heard such complete and utter bullshit in your whole life? It's not important enough for us to die. He was so desperate for some soldiers to die under Clinton, he couldn't stand it. He was begging Clinton to put some ground troops in there so they could get shot like that idiot Bush is getting our boys shot. You want our boys dead to score political points. And now here we are, 300 dead, and he's saying, we're not going to leave, we're not going to turn back, we're not going to back up. No, Rush, you're right, we're just going to keep putting these men through the hamburger grinder again and again and again, over and over, for how many more years? How many more years are we going to put up with this? Okay, so that's our little mini show number 12. Basically, just wanted to let you know that we're still alive and we got a show coming. And once Tommy Mac starts producing, it's going to sound real good. Oh, and have you noticed how, not that my voice sounds good, but have you noticed how good the voice sounds? Yeah, that's this, these sound-deadening acoustical tiles that are hanging all around me. It's a little claustrophobic here because there's, you know, the walls are about 3 feet apart here. Anyway, sure makes for some good sound. Now if we only had an intelligent host with something to say. So, thanks for listening. This is Bark Cop Radio, and we'll come back and do it again in a couple of days.